Okay, the title for this message is How Satan Attacks the Believer. I invite your attention to 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. If you'll please stand in honor of God's word, we'll read that passage of scripture and then we'll pray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this evening. Lord, we just pray that you would use the word of God in our hearts. Help us to be guarded against Satan's wiles and devices. Lord, I just pray that you would use this message in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to glorify you with our lives. Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and way done tonight. Holy Spirit, work in each heart and life tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, so whether you like it or not, we are at war. If you are a saved, blood-bought, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, Satan wants to devour you, as we just read in verse 8. Satan's main mission is opposing God's people. One of the reasons why the service of God is so difficult at times is that Satan is aggressively opposing God's people. He especially targets those who are leaders and who are zealous in the work of God. We are soldiers. When you ask Christ to save you from your sins, you signed the dotted line and enlisted in the Lord's army. In fact, we used to sing that in junior church. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. 2 Timothy 2:3 tells us to, quote, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, end quote. We are instructed about the armor in Ephesians 6:11, and we're going to look at that. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The John Marshall family were a group that traveled around and sang among Baptist churches. They used to sing a song. They started singing in 1976. Of course, they're no longer singing. That was a very long time ago. But they have a song called Pass the Ammunition, Brother. Pass the Ammunition is the title of the song. It goes like this. Pass the ammunition, brother, we are still at war, and the fighting will continue till we meet the Lord. Now is not the time to give up. Stay beside your post. Pass the ammunition, brother, serve the Lord of hosts. And it really points out what we're in. We're in a war, and we need to be ready to fight. Our first point shows that it is much more than a physical or a fleshly war we are engaged in. So it's not going to do any good for us to do the physical preparation that people who go in the army do. We're going to have to do some spiritual preparation. And that brings us to point one. Every Christian is engaged in a serious war. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to come back here for one more verse, but right now, verses 12 through 13 reads, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So if you'll look at verse 12 there, those are things that we can't see. Those are spiritual conflicts. Those are things that we don't expect to deal with every day. And so it's very important that we heed this warning or this admonition here to put on the whole armor of God. If we don't put on the whole armor of God each day, we're going to be fighting things that we don't see, things that we don't expect. We're going to have conflicts with people and challenges in our lives that are beyond our ability because they're spiritual. And really, if you come right down to it, what are we? We're not spiritual at all. We're flesh, 100% flesh. The only reason that we're different is because we're born again. We've been born from the inside and given a new heart because we asked Christ to save us. We admitted that we were a sinner. We admitted that we were lost and on our way to hell. We admitted that we don't deserve God's holiness and God's righteousness. And we admitted that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And when we fell down on our knees, God changed us inside. However, on the outside, we're not changed at all. So we have no defenses against this spiritual attack other than what the Lord can give us. And so it's very important that we realize this and we are on our guard every day. I think a lot of Christians are kind of taking this for granted and taking the privilege of being saved for granted, and they're not really realizing what the challenge is, what it is. And then they come to church and then they tell us all, well, please pray for this and please pray for that because, man, this is happening in my life and that is happening in my life. And, well, you're not putting on the armor. So we have to realize this war is an important thing. War means to contend, to strive violently, to be in a state of opposition. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." The Bible tells us to be careful about these things. The word abstain here means to hold oneself off. That is, to refrain from. What are we to refrain from? The fleshly lusts that war against our soul. Satan is the aggressor. 1 Peter 5:8, as we read, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible not only teaches the existence of a personal devil, but the existence of an active devil. One who is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is totally opposed to anything good or anything of God. He has an insatiable appetite for evil and mischief, blindly pursuing his personal goal of receiving allegiance from all God's creation." And so, when you don't come to church, when you don't read your Bible, when you don't pray, you're giving him exactly what he wants. You're not doing the spiritual part of your life. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to prevent you. He's trying to give you excuses why you don't come. He's trying to give you excuses. Oh, well, I'm too tired. I can't read my Bible tonight. He's trying to give you reasons not to follow the Lord. And he knows by doing that, maybe he can steer you away from God. Maybe he can change your life in a bad way. And so he's always trying to do this. In fact, the name Satan itself means adversary. The name devil means slanderer. The word devour in the verse that we read there in 1 Peter 5:8, it comes from the Greek word katapino. It means to drink down, that is, gulp entire, literally or figuratively, to swallow up. And that's exactly what he wants to do to you and me. He wants to swallow us up. He wants to destroy us. Especially if you're a Christian, he wants to obliterate your life. He wants your life to just totally fall apart so that all the lost can look at you and say, that guy's a Christian, really? You got to be kidding me. That shouldn't be. It is interesting that people have observed that a lion roars when he's roused with hunger, for then he is most fierce and most eagerly seeks his prey. We see an example of this in Judges 14:5, where it says, "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him." But secondly, I'd like you to see that he's a ruthless enemy. If you'll turn to John 8:44. John 8:44. "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." This just kind of shows you the nature of Satan himself. Something else I'd like you to notice or to recognize is the fact that the devil gives no quarter. The historical military term means to show no mercy, as to show no quarter to the enemy. It indicates that captured enemies will not be taken prisoner, but will be killed. It is a declaration that there will be no leniency or compassion. Showing no quarter is a brutal declaration of intent to eliminate the enemy entirely. The devil himself would love to kill any of us, since our testimony for Christ and our ability to lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus is present. However, God is still in control, and Satan cannot do anything against God's will. The problem is that Satan can tempt you, and many times you end up getting caught in your own foolishness. You can die from your own foolishness. You can get into bad habits because of your own foolishness, but it's not God's fault. And sometimes God will personally intervene in your life. And that's one thing good about God. He loves us and wants to see us glorify him. Number three, under this point, POWs can and will be taken. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Sins that control you. When Satan tempts them, it is as if they have no control over themselves and they give in to the sin. They are captive by their flesh and its desires. He begins, if you go all the way up to verse 22, he starts with this warning, flee youthful lusts. And so he tells what the warning, what the problem is. Another one under this point is Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, don't you think that if Satan desired to have Simon Peter, how much more would he love to sift you and I, and just to do with what he can with us? Satan is after us. He wants us. Number two, Satan's strategic interest is to retain his domain. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is continuously blinding the minds of unsaved people. That's why it's so important for you and I to be a witness in our workplace, to be a witness when we're out and about at the grocery store, to be a witness to our unsaved loved ones and to our, for those of you that have grandkids, to our grandkids and to our relatives and people that we know and come in contact with, because Satan is always trying to blind their minds. Another verse that shows us about retaining his domain is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And you know what an influence and what a godly example Paul was. And if Satan hindered him, how much more do we need to be aware? A godly man like Paul was hindered. And Satan is still hindering people today. Number three, Satan employs definite tactics. Ephesians 6:11 was one of the verses that I didn't read when we were over there. So if you'll turn to Ephesians 6. And look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that's pretty emphatic. Something God wants us to do, to put on the armor. But notice, so we can stand against, they're called wiles. We're supposed to stand against these wiles. What is a wile? Well, it means to deceive, to beguile, to deceive by means of trickery or a lie. A good example, and this is a good example for many things, was Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, the serpent told her, ye shall not surely die, after God gave her the definite command that if she ate of the fruit, she would die. God told her she would die in Genesis 2:17. Satan comes along and says, oh, you're not going to die. Just like he comes along with us and says, hey, that's going to be a whole lot of fun. You're really going to have a great time. Hey, you're going to enjoy that. And yeah, there's some enjoyment to sin. There is, always is. But then there's the consequences. And when the consequences come, look out. Then it's not quite as fun as we thought it was. And see, Satan never tells you the consequences. He only makes it look beautiful and wonderful so that we'll partake of the sin. So under this point, Satan employs definite tactics. He uses propaganda. Now, I read this whole scripture. There's so many different Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. We're not going to read all these verses. And Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. But basically what happened was Sanballat came along and all of his helpers, and they tried to stop the wall. They didn't want the wall to go up. And how did they do it? Well, they used definite tactics that Satan always uses. Gossip, rumors, fear. So if you look at these pieces of scripture here in Nehemiah, and threats. He tried to get the Christians, the people who were building the wall, he tried to get them to stop building or to be afraid to build or be concerned and upset. And see, Satan always does that to us. He always tries to make us fearful of what might happen or what could happen. He always tries to get us to gossip about our brother or sister in Christ. He always tries to get us to cause division and talk about the pastor and his wife or to talk about somebody else in the church and say things. This is how he works. He uses propaganda and gets us to think things that just aren't so. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Word of God and to let the Lord lead us and guide us. Well, I'm out of time, but I'd like to tell you he also uses people. He has dispatched subversive agents. And the part that I really wanted to get to, and I still didn't get to it this time, was the battlefield is in the mind. So it's really important for us to keep our minds under control and to use the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time in your Word. We thank you for the things that we can learn from it. Lord, we just pray that you would use us and help us to glorify you. And Lord, we just pray for our relatives and our loved ones, those that are unsaved. Lord, that you would give us an opportunity to speak with them. Lord, we pray for our church and we ask that, Lord, you would use it. We thank you so much for your love to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.